20th century physics, or the physics of the last century, is based on two main theories. On one hand, you have what is called the theory of relativity, which is Einstein's theory of space and time. And what it does say, which is really an amazing thing, is that the force of gravity, right, so the thing that makes the Earth go around the sun and us being here on Earth, is really the consequence of how space behaves when you have a mass placed on it. And people go, what? Well, it's not that hard. For example, if you're sitting down, right, if you're sitting down on a couch on your bed and you look around your behind, what you see is a depression, right? There is a curvature of space, in this case the cushion, around your mass, your body. Far away from your body, the space is flat, right? So if you think about it that way, so you know that the presence of a mass can bend the geometry of space, then you think, okay, so let's imagine then I have a long mattress and you have this deep depression in the middle of it because there is a bowling ball, say, in the middle of it.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so everybody can see that, right? And then you have a tiny little marble, right? So if you throw the marble far away from the bowling ball, then the marble is not going to feel any curvature of space because it's going to be on a flat area. So it's just going to go on a straight line. So that is, say, motion in the absence of gravity. But now, if you throw the marble close to the bowling ball, it's going to feel that curvature, right? And
yep.
It's going to have a curved path. And in fact, if you do this right, you can show that that path is going to have circular or elliptic orbits. And so you can actually show that the reason why the Earth goes around the sun in an elliptical, sort of a squashed circle path, is because space around the sun is curved. So Einstein basically created a new theory that explains the curvature of space based on gravitational effects. It's a really awesome idea. So that is the theory of what we call the very large, you know, things which are what happens around stars, around galaxies, and even around the universe as a whole, right? You can think of the universe as a bunch of mass in it, all the galaxies, everything, and so it has some geometry, and Einstein's theory of gravity, of relativity, explains that. So let's call it the physics of the very big, okay?
All right.
So that's the one hand. Then you have the other hand. So on the other hand, you have the physics of the very small, which we call quantum mechanics. And the physics of the very small, quantum mechanics, deals with atoms and the particles that make up atoms. If you remember, you have electrons that go around the atomic nucleus, which is made of protons and neutrons. And so those particles, the behavior of how electrons go around this atomic nucleus, is described by the theory of quantum mechanics. And by the way, every digital gadget that we have, from your iPhone to your GPS to your DVD player, everything depends on our knowledge of quantum mechanics. So in terms of application, you can say that our modern economy is pretty much a spin-off of quantum mechanics.
So those were the two main areas of physics during the past century, you would
right.
say.
Right. So you have the physics of the very big relativity and the physics of the very small quantum mechanics. Okay, now comes in the Big Bang, the theory of the universe that says that the universe once upon a time was very tiny and small, and then you had a giant explosion, and the universe has been expanding ever since, and it's been about 14 billion years since this happened. So you look, okay, nowadays you have this big universe, you can use relativity to explain what's going on, but if you play the movie backwards, right, and you want to understand what was going on when the universe was very young, well, as the universe, if you go backwards in time, close to the childhood of the universe, if you want, the universe gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So when you're very close to the beginning of time, the universe is so small that you have to use the physics of the very small, quantum mechanics, to describe what was going on. And so you have to somehow marry relativity, the physics of the very large, with quantum mechanics, the physics of the very small.
Is that marriage normal?
No, it's very dysfunctional.
Ah. All right. It's like getting married to the wrong person, right?
Exactly. And that is the problem, is when you try to combine the two theories, that Now, what is the core idea of superstrings that makes it so interesting? Well, essentially the following. Since the ancient Greeks, like 2,500 years ago, were thinking about what is the world made of, they came up with an amazing insight. They said, look, everything is made, every little thing that you look around is made of tiny particles called atoms,
mm-hmm.
right? And atom, the word atom, comes from the Greek word for you cannot cut it down to smaller pieces.
And by the way, how did the Greeks know this? They didn't have equipment. They didn't have electron microscopes. They had nothing. How did they know this?
It's an amazing thing. You know, the Greeks, and I love Greek philosophy, and in my book I talk a lot about it, because they essentially... They really thought about everything, and they had this amazing intuition, and they just had ideas about things, and one of their ideas was about the material composition of the world. It turns out that it's actually a fascinating thing that the first philosophical question, the first question in philosophy, as far as we know, was, what is the world made of? Okay, that was the first question, and here we are, you know, 2,500 years later, still trying to figure that out. Of course, we made a lot of progress in the meantime, but we're still, in a sense, grappling with the same sort of questions. And you ask, how did they come up with this? Well, I assume that they basically looked at an object, they cut it into smaller pieces, and they figured out that at some point you just can't cut anymore, that it has to be a fundamental building block of matter, sort of like the brick, you know, of which if you put some of them together, you create more things. You know, so the Greeks had this Lego theory of nature, if you want. You know, Lego, the toys, right, that you put pieces together.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have those little pieces, and you put them together, and you make more complicated pieces, but you can't break those pieces down. That's essentially how they thought everything was made. So water was made, had its own atoms, and metals had its own atoms, and everything, even emotions had atoms, according to them. It's sort of a wild idea. So that is the notion that we always had, that matter is made of little bits, and for example, the electron is one of those little bits, and then there are a bunch of others. Nowadays, we think there are about 12 particles that describe all the matter that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what superstrings does, it says, well, you know what? These ideas that particles are like little point-like bits of matter are wrong, that you shouldn't be thinking about them in terms of points of matter. We have to think of them in terms of vibrations of a string. Now, how is that possible? Well, think of a guitar string, right? And everybody can think of a guitar string, and if you pluck it, it's going to vibrate and it's going to produce a certain sound.
Right.
But now if you move your hand, your left hand up and down the guitar arm and press the string at different places and pluck it, it's going to make different sounds, right? And
okay.
It's going to make different sounds because it's going to be vibrating at different frequencies. And so every frequency of vibration has a certain energy related to it. And so what superstring theory is going to say is essentially that, well, each one of those frequencies has an energy, and because of the famous E equals MC squared formula, the energy and mass are related, you can actually say that each one of these vibrating strings at different frequencies is related to a different particle of matter. So instead of having a little point-like particle of matter, you now have a vibrating string. Why is this important? Well, because strings are not like point-like, like little things that have no volume in space. They have an extension, and if they have an extension, they can never have zero size. So you get rid of the problem of dealing with something that has no size, which is, for a relativity theory, which is the theory that deals with things that have extension in space, a real headache. And somehow, by doing that, you then resolve, or apparently try to resolve, the marriage, the complicated marriage of quantum mechanics and relativity.